You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
You're listening to Mysteries and Monsters. I'm your host, Paul Bestel. The use of dolls in Wicca and magic has been with us since people began to understand the spooky world around them. In her brand new book, Dollcraft, legendary good witch Patty Negri takes us on a journey into the history and use of dolls throughout Wicca and culture beyond. It's a brilliant guide for anyone with an interest in dolls, how to create your own haunted doll, and even how to cleanse one. But before that, of course, don't forget you can support Mysteries and Monsters by signing up at patreon.com/mysteriesandmonsters. $4 a month gets you ad-free episodes, guaranteed early releases, bonus content, and more. And thank you to each and every one of you for your continued support of me and Mysteries and Monsters. You can find Mysteries and Monsters across most social media platforms. Please subscribe to the Mysteries and Monsters channel on YouTube. You can also visit mysteriesandmonsters.com for news, episodes, and links. Our exclusive merchandise site is available via TeePublic, and the link for that is in the show notes. Thank you to the people who have treated themselves to a Mysteries and Monsters t-shirt in the last few days. I hope you enjoy it. Our intro and outro music are performed by the marvellous Weary Pines. Thank you as always to Dean Bestel for his wonderful artwork, and the show is produced by Brennan Store of the Ghost Story Guys. Now, let's welcome the one and only Patty Negri and the world of Dollcraft. The use of dolls in the modern paranormal has seen the focus on the more notorious members of that club, yet the practice of creating a puppet has begun to see a revival in the modern resurgence in pagan and Wicca around the world. And I'm delighted to dive into the subject with the one and only Patty Negri. A leading light in all aspects of the paranormal, Patty's reputation as the good witch precedes her in every way. Patty, I'm finally delighted to welcome you to Mysteries and Monsters.
Thank you so much, Paul. I am thrilled to be here. This is great.
Absolutely. Well, it's lovely to get a chance to speak with you. I know we've got this exciting new book, Dollcraft.
It's released all around the world. It is out now. You can get it everywhere that I've found, online and in stores. I don't know on the other side of the pond where they are, but they are somewhere. So, yes.
Absolutely fabulous. I have to say, when I saw the cover, I was struck by it. It's such a beautiful series of images that you've got on the cover and throughout.
Yes. I'm not taking full credit for this cover, except for them getting my idea of things. I'm not the artist. That's my beautiful publishers, Llewellyn. So, yes.
Are you surprised? I mean, as I said in the introduction, Patty, I think most people who've got an interest in the paranormal know who you are and what you represent. You are often put forward as the positive guiding light in the world of modern witchcraft. You've appeared on more shows than I could shake a stick at. You do your own course. You do your own podcast. I've heard you guest on many a favourite show of mine in the world of podcasts. Puppets are something that I kind of stumbled across about 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't know much about them. And obviously doing this show, I've got to know a few people here in the local witchcraft scene and the alternative shops that they frequent. And I've given a couple of talks there. And so it was a completely new avenue in regards to modern witchcraft and the practice of it. Was it something that, with someone as with a lifelong interest and practice in this, were you aware of them as you started, or is this something that's been added to your paranormal witchcraft toolboxes you've developed?
Whoa, things falling over. Haunted house. No, I think I don't know how long, but it's been a long time I've been working with puppets. Even like right here, this is my little puppet. It's me. It's got my name on it. It wears a little pentagram I always wear, you know, and she's my little, whether I need protection, whether I if I have a headache, stick needles in my head, whatever that is. She's just been a part of my practice. Nice, tangible part of spell crafting. I love candle work. I love my herbs and oils. I love little mojo bags and things. But as soon as, just like with dolls or haunted dolls, as soon as you put a face to something, there's a relationship to it. So it works really nice, whether it's for love or money or health or whatever. And I'm not the artsiest, craftsiest. Wait, people need to know how to make them out of paper napkins. People need to know that you don't have to be that artsy, craftsy and good at it to have a nice working poppet. So I'm just a doll girl, and I have. So why would it? I mean, if I literally turn this camera around or look backwards, there's hundreds of eyes looking at me, Paul, doll collections. I've been a doll collector my entire life, mostly Barbies from youth, and I don't have any haunted Barbies. I think she's just such a goddess in her own right. So, of course, I'm a doll girl. So, of course, my witchcraft and spellcrafting would lean towards doll magic. And then being in the paranormal world for so long, and ghost adventures and all the shows I work with, haunted dolls would be a part of that as well. So my book, I think, to my knowledge, is the first time that, again, they have been brought together, because the one relating thing is dolls, but it's bringing my worlds together, my witchy world and my haunted doll world. So it was really fun and hard and fun.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about the book, is that you've got this kind of section to it, really. You've got the sort of the first half, because I think you can't really dive into this subject regardless, Patty, without people always trying to pull you back to haunted dolls. And obviously with your career and the work you do and your presence, people will send you dolls. And I know you talk about that very strange one a lady from Belgium sent you in the book.
Yes, Belle. Actually, she's usually right here, but she's upstairs right now. She had an appearance last night.
I suppose, is it one of those things that you can get inundated? Because I know, like you say, regardless of talking about this subject, you've got to be very careful, because it does seem to be one of the modern sort of cliches. You can't go on eBay these days without stumbling across haunted dolls. And you've got to be really careful, because you may want to get one for whatever reason. You may be interested. You may think you can help whatever's attached to it. But there's going to be people out there who are trying to take advantage of that, aren't they? And you've got lots of guides and practices in there to make sure that you're not falling for these scammers.
Yeah. Even just if you're, say, on eBay or something, that, you know, if that one seller has like 220 haunted dolls with these big, beautiful, long stories, and where did she find that, or he find that? It's like, maybe they're a really good storyteller, a good writer, and they went and got it at the thrift store, the antique store down the same. Now, that's not saying, because even in my book, that she may or he may not have called a spirit into it, but I would advertise that differently. Like, okay, I got this doll at an antique store. I know how to do this. I called a spirit into it, and it seems to be this spirit has developed or developing. But with the prices they're charging, I just didn't want people to get ripped off. So it's basically about the acquisition and then care and feeding, because dolls have always been in the world. They've always been popular, but not like they are now. You know, definitely thanks to Hollywood movie and Annabelle, the Conjuring series, the famous doll, Robert the doll, Peggy the doll, Annabelle. And I know more adults like us, men, women, come see my doll collection. My dad's age, that never would have happened. I could not see my dad having a doll collection, but it's different now. So, you know, once you get past the acquisition of one, how to find a good one, a legit one, or create one, then there is the care and feeding, because they really can be dangerous. Look at all the stuff going on with Annabelle right now. So you don't want a negative haunted doll. Like with Belle, I didn't want to bring somebody into my house that would make my hair fall out or make me sick or make my dog and cat sick, and they can. So there's proper care and feeding along the way.
This is often the problem, I think, is that we always focus on the negative ones, and yet there's probably thousands and thousands of very happily haunted dolls, and it's always the ones that have a reputation. Now, I know that might make better reading or better television often sometimes, Patty, but I mean, obviously, as you say, you've got a room full behind you. You've dealt with probably thousands over the years. I would suggest that the majority of them that you've encountered have been positive and fine.
Yeah. I will not let a night go by with a negative one. I didn't with Belle. I would not let without banishing the negative spirit. I knew, I sensed, I felt there was a positive little spirit in it that was being overshadowed by a darker presence, you again, at very least, they drain your energy, they cause arguing. And positively haunted dolls are just as much fun and just as spooky as negative. You still hear the footprints, they still move things around, you still see them move, but they're not going to make you sick because this or angry or cranky. I won't have a negative one. I had another little doll here. It was like a statue doll, but it still was a doll. It had a face and everything. It was given to be a client, like a rock star client. And it was fine. It was cute, kind of a New Orleans looking thing. All of a sudden, I noticed, because I wasn't paying attention, my house is well warded, that I'm not spending time in my office. I go upstairs. I take my laptop upstairs. I go anywhere but here. Mm. And I'm like, why? I love my office. I looked around. I'm like, oh, it's you. It's this little doll thing. Oh, you've taken on something negative. You can't stay. Me being me, I called Zach Bagans, who has his museum in yes. Vegas. Zach, I have something I will not have in my house anymore. It's too dark for me. Do you want it? And he's like, oh, well, show me a picture, Patty. Showed him a picture. He's like, oh, that's a nail fetish hate doll. Yeah, I want it. Okay, off to Vegas I went that very next day. And now she's living happily in his haunted museum, where it's very well curated. Nobody lives there or sleeps there. People know what they're getting when they get there. Mm-hmm. No children or animal or weak or sick people that would be most affected by it. And she's in the perfect place, other than my house, which was not the perfect place. And most are good. Yes, the bad ones get all the press. They get the movies because that makes for better movies and press. I mean, just like on our paranormal investigations, we don't hang out at the beautiful chapel where people hang from the chandeliers because it was the best day of their life. No, we hang out at the insane asylum and the prison and the mass murderer's house because that's what people want to see. But most spirits, I think most ghosts are good. Look, you go anywhere, go to a mall, go to a concert, go to a ball game. There might be a serial killer or two hidden amongst them, but most people are good, you know, quirky maybe, but good. So again, if you're a disembodied spirit, you're probably good most of the time. You might be quirky. We're all quirky, but they want to hang out.
Mm. I've always been intrigued, Patty, especially by people that collect them and may have a majority that have a good presence attached or a good spirit inside. Do they have some kind of hierarchy where if you do bring something quite negative in, the rest of the dolls pull rank or set a, you know, give off an alarm or something? Is there some kind of, and you know, I'm not trying to be flippant about it. I'm just intrigued.
What I have, and to me, the house manager of sort is a kitchen witch doll.
Mm.
Is a kitchen witch doll. Like, which I have one up here. It's not even in my, not the one hanging. Yeah, one hanging. And they, besides running your kitchen, they keep things from boiling over. They keep things from burning. They will be like the house manager. They will keep things in line. But again, if something too negative comes in, it'll draw the energy and take away some of the powers of the other. So that's, to me, the one hierarchy. If you're in the craft and if you have a kitchen witch and you have a little doll thing charged to do that. Other than that, like Belle became my first, this is a family member haunted doll. She is part of the family. Once the animals accepted her and she became, then I brought in Salem, the one in white right there, if anybody's seeing this. And Belle started bringing a spirit into her. Belle was like, this is mine. But I let them get to know each other and it was okay. But just like humans, people, roommates, families, animals, they do kind of have to get along, or again, it becomes an energy drain.
Mm. Mm. I suppose, is it, as you said, I mean, as you mentioned in regards to Belle, you noticed that there was like a negative veil hiding the positivity inside of her. Is that often the case where you get them and perhaps something's attached to the attachment, as it were, and you have to try and sort of split them apart, like splitting the atom, I suppose.
Yeah, it certainly can happen. I don't know how often, but again, if you're a vessel has taken on a spirit, so what again, this is spirit of grandma and whatever, you're a doll or just a wandering disembodied spirit. And then a negative energy, spirit, whatever, just create. It could be a created thing, like an egregore or something. Created thing is going to, oh, here's both a vessel and something I can feed off of, both it and the people that it works with. So yeah, that really can happen. You have to look kind of for layers sometimes.
Mm. Is it challenging sometimes? Because I would imagine, Patty, you're one of those people that occasionally you might just get a delivery from some part of the world and you open it up. Because I always used to laugh when I listened to some of the old Art Bell shows where people were just sending the weirdest things to his P.O. box address. The famous Ouija board story that he wouldn't allow in the house once he realised where it was. Do you get unsolicited dolls arriving?
Not overly too much. I've got a few, and including Ouija boards. I remember I film here at my house a lot. Mm. I was filming, I think it was a music video, and that we were working with a Ouija board and all this stuff. A couple weeks later, one of the crew members, like the cameraman or something, showed up at my doorstep with a Ouija board. Take this. Please take this. Would not give me a history. And I'm like, sure, take it. Because again, I believe light beats dark, and I could cleanse any. I haven't found something yet that couldn't really be cleansed of a tangible item. So sure, but it's funny. But I don't get that much. Thank goodness, because my house is pretty crowded. my husband's like, we don't have a lot more room. It's like, no, we don't. And absolutely. I'm not ready for a bigger house yet. So knock on wood, not too much. But I do get some beautiful gifts. Again, like Belle, that girl certainly asked my permission because she saw me doing a seance with Piggy the doll and figured if I could handle Piggy the doll, who had given people heart attacks before and made documented people sick, that I could handle Belle. Mm. And Belle took me through the ringer. Even that same day I got it, I did a Facebook Live. I had never done one before, but it was like, I have to do a Facebook Live. Mm. I think it was Belle the whole time. And 50,000 people watched me open that doll. I don't have that many followers. I got 1,000, not 50,000. It was the doll. Mm. But that's when I got to that dark thing going, yes, but no, we have to banish that. Mm. So that's why I teach people very simple but effective ways to do that.
Mm. Well, I was interested. Some would say be careful what you explain to people, but obviously you've got a section in the book where you talk about how to create your own. And I think some people would be like, what do you mean? Because I think this is often the thing, that there is this perception that if a doll's haunted, it's been haunted. Whereas some people may be surprised that if you want to create one, once again, focusing on the positive aspect of it more than anything, Patty, you can stand the steps.
It's a haunted version of what a poppet is. Going back to these little dolls, these are created spirits. Mm. You don't call in grandma ghost or serial killer ghost. You call in the spirit of love, health, money, whatever. You create a tulpa, a servitor, egregore, whatever you want to call it. You create a spirit into this. And we call it in, but I also work in the paranormal world. One reason I'm very popular on investigations is that I do know how to open the veil and invite in. I don't force anything, anyone, anywhere, living or dead, but invite in the spirits. So why not do that if you have this beautiful little doll or an item that you want to call in? Call in a disembodied spirit that's looking for something. You can kind of be specific. In my experience, you really can. I went a little girl spirit, you know, and people have had amazing success with it. Not everybody. You have to believe, just like practicing craft or practicing spellcraft. Sometimes it might take a little practice. It takes a whole lot of faith, whole lot of belief, whole lot of intention. But it's a nice exercise to learn how to do that in things in life anyways.
I was fascinated to see you mention funerals for dolls, because I have heard about this, and there is something in regards to poppets, but I'll mention that when we come back round to those guys, because I think some people would be quite surprised about this. But I think if you're going into this with an open mind and you are in that particular field and you're dealing with such a thing, why wouldn't you have a funeral? Because if we're dealing with things passing on for whatever reason, whether you think that the spirit or the attachment may be getting bored or frustrated or whatever, or it's perhaps gone as far as it can, as you say in the book, hold a funeral.
Hold a funeral. And again, funerals are they're beautiful rituals. I'm a girl who loves rituals. And funerals are just as much for the living people as for those that you say goodbye to. So if you've had your doll, your item, whatever, and it's like, it's for whatever reason, time to go, that's going to help you just as much as help the doll go on. So there's psychology as much as magic in it. So why not? So then I went that next step and going, well, why not have a tea party? You know, we love our dolls. Why not?
Well, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the thing as well. It's one of those things that most young girls growing up have a tea party with their dolls and their toys and whatever. You know, Teddy sat at the head of the table and you've got everything going. I've, you know, growing up, I've seen them. My niece has had them. So it's something that continues even into the modern era, regardless. It's still got that connection of that creation of community of toys, and you're having a lovely time together. And you suggest having one of these for a collection of haunted dolls once again.
Yes.
Because just because they're haunted doesn't mean they don't want to have fun.
Exactly. And again, if you're living in that kind of paranormal world, you probably have friends that live in that paranormal world. Everybody wants to show off their doll. I do a lot of conventions and people want to bring me, oh, look at Betty, look at Bob, look at whoever. Do you see the spirit in it? So why not have a tea party for them? I'm actually doing one because of the book and like, well, let's do more than a book signing. I just booked for early December, December 2 through 4, I'm going to be doing a haunted doll tea party at the Lizzie Borden murder house.
Yes.
That should be interesting. That's going to be a first, you know, going into a very haunted house.
Yes.
And bringing the dolls within it. But it's going to be fun, you know. Again, I'm big for warding. I'm big for protection. Then I teach people that with the book. I'm all about respect. And from there, it should be interesting and good.
I wonder how many of the potential dolls are on a no-fly list, Patty.
I know. Really? when Peggy, the doll that now Zach Bagans owns, and she has her own room at his thing, before he owned her, when we were doing the seance, it wasn't even Ghost Adventures. It was actually a spinoff called Deadly Possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew me in to do a seance with her. He flew in one of the girls, I don't know, she lives somewhere in the UK, who had been given a heart attack, a young girl, not an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who then owned her, Jane Harris, who's a UK paranormal person, who then owned Peggy, flew them in. Those two women would not ride on the same plane as Peggy. You know, not saying that anybody else on the other Peggy plane, and thankfully it was okay, would not ride on the same. And when I got to Vegas, you know, I knew it was going to be a doll. I didn't know much about it. I seance because he had me. But Zach put me up in a very nice hotel, modern, not really haunted, not really have a history to it. Hmm. Oh, my goodness. It started the second I got there. My phone is blowing up. My TV is turning on and off. Lights are going on and off. Even my shower is like, oh, this is going to be fun. And this is the day before it even happened. It's like, yeah, there's an energy there. Now, when I go see Peggy at the museum, she curses at me. You go in because she's in her own room. And of course, there's the theatrics. You don't have to go in if you don't want to. Make sure you say hello to Peggy. And if I go in, hi, Peggy, you look pretty today. Remember me. It's like, rah, 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 rah. That's not nice. Remembers me.
Have you ever had another doll treat you with such animosity on a return visit?
No, I haven't. All the other dolls haven't. She's the only one, and maybe because I disconnect her to Katrine, the girl who had got it.
Mm-hmm.
But she should be happy, because not that I created Zach to buy her, but that she's in a place now where she's worshipped and adored and feared and probably all those things that she likes. She's got her own room and a doll. She's got a spirit box that she could talk whenever she wants. She's living the high life for a haunted doll.
Absolutely. Like you say, and that surely that would appeal to her ego more than anything else.
Yeah. And maybe it probably does. It's just, you know.
Just likes to keep you on her toes.
Who knows? Maybe next time I go, she will.
Just warming up to you, Patty, perhaps.
Exactly.
I suppose one of the difficulties with this is trying to sort of separate the reality from, as you mentioned, the movies, because a lot of the time it is sort of over-egged in regards to this, but people do have some real strange reactions to dolls in general. Is it, do you think it's how the doll looks as well? Because the term doll can mean so many variations of a style. It's not as simple as describing what a doll is. As you say, we talk about Barbies, you've got all kinds of, you've got porcelains, you've got Perros, you've got raggy dolls, you've got stroll dolls. There are so many that often I think the ones that tend to get the more negative reaction or frighten people seem to be the ones that look a bit stranger. But I would imagine that just because you look a bit funny doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad doll.
Right. No, it doesn't. And again, but we put our perceptions on top of things. But like Annabelle in the movie, in the Conjuring movie, they made Annabelle look like a spooky porcelain doll. In reality, she's a Raggedy Ann doll. Mm. She doesn't look that spooky until you get the whole history behind her. She's a Raggedy Ann doll. Robert the doll, he's a little spooky looking. I've got a little replica of him who got to spend the night with him. But he's only spooky looking because he's 100 and something years old. He's he doesn't have good skin anymore. But now it's interesting because now, because of the love for it, they are making dolls look spooky and haunted. But I personally, bring them out at Halloween and have them for Halloween and stuff. Mm. But I personally, and this might just be my opinion, I think the ones get spookier that don't look like they're made to be Halloween spooky dolls that look like my pretty girls can be spookier than one that's got a gray painted face and black eyes. Mm-hmm. But that's just me.
No, I agree. I think that's it. I would imagine you've probably come across dolls that you would consider beautiful that are quite negative.
Yes. Peggy looks like, I think she's like from the 1960s or something. I've never looked into her, but she looks like Doris Day. Mm. She's got a little blonde bob. She's not spooky looking. She's got a little outfit on. She's got a crucifix on, which I personally think she shouldn't have a crucifix on. What I really sense, and I haven't looked into it lately, I think she's Jewish, and I think she should have a Star of David on. Mm. But Zach put a cross on. I don't know if he did or Jane did or what, and it's for protection. But I would ask the doll more what she wants. But she doesn't look spooky if you did not know Peggy's history, or if she didn't make you sick or give you a heart attack. You know, you would say it's a cute little kind of vintage doll. Mm. Not even antique. She's a vintage doll, you know.
Mm. It's interesting, I think, because often, usually the only sort of doll or fetish that people would know probably 30 years ago, Patty, would have been voodoo dolls, which are obviously used in hoodoo practice. But once again, that's the same kind of situation, isn't it? Because we always see the negative aspect of what a voodoo doll was designed, but that was exactly the same. It was all about intention, wasn't it?
Yes, it's about intention, just like puppets. It's the voodoo version of puppets. You can make anything. Magic is magic. You can make it positive, you can make it negative. I choose to make it positive. That's just me, because I want to live in a positive world. But you know, again, Hollywood at work, writing at work, you turn into everything negative. But my friend Bloody Mary in New Orleans, she makes the most beautiful dolls. Mm. And she calls them voodoo dolls, or she has different little kind of names for her babies. And they are what you do with them, or they all what they have into them or call into them.
Mm. When I was mentioning about puppets, one of the things that struck me, I was at a pagan festival the other week. And I got talking to a lady who'd got a stall full of them, Patty. But she'd also made biodegradable coffins for them, which I found was amazing because she makes biodegradable puppets as well. So they decay a little bit faster than sort of making them out of cloth and stuff.
Which is great.
And I was just blown away by this because it just showed a level of care and intricacy that you don't understand unless you scrape past the surface of this particular subject. And so when I knew I was coming up to speak to you, that had happened about a couple of days afterwards. And I was like really struck by poppet funerals popping into my life within a couple of days of knowing I was going to speak to you, Patty. And so it was really interesting to get this because that really opened my eyes up because I'd seen them and didn't really understand them. Do you think it's better to create them and, if you wish to create your own little cardboard coffins or whatever. It's absolutely fine, because I know you're a big believer in creating it and crafting it out of anything, but obviously lots of people sell them now as well.
Yes, and some get very clever. They sell them maybe so you could put tag locks and personalize them. They'll put little zippers in it that you could put some herbs or stones or photos in them. So people are getting creative for those who don't want to make their own. Hmm. But I think biodegradable and non-toxic is important. That's why I talk about, you know, getting the cheapest paper napkin. If, because puppets you can keep and store and keep protected, or you can burn, or you can bury, or you can put in waterways, depending, are you working the water element or the fire element, or you want to plant. And you don't want to be planting poppets made out of plastic that's going to be here 100,000 years. Certainly you don't want to put them in the waterways, the oceans. We have to take care of this planet. Hmm. So it's like ways to make them so biodegradable, go faster. So I love that she's doing that. I love that she's doing coffins for it, because we don't, no matter how magical or what spells we're doing, we do not want to bring any kind of toxicity into our land, our water, or burning it, that we sit there breathing over toxic fumes. Mm. So I got real clear on that with my book too.
Yes, absolutely. Why do you think poppets have become so popular? It is something I've noticed over the last 10 years, Patty. I think you'd really struggle, especially here in the UK, unless you went to a specialised practitioner or you knew people in that particular field. Whereas now, you can just go and buy them from most places. I know my local shops stocks them.
Yeah, I was just at one of the conventions I do, and these beautiful women, I don't remember what state they were in or we were in, have beautiful poppets and things, and they had this whole... I think because, again, if you're doing magic and you're doing spell crafting or work, as soon as you have a face and limbs, it's different. I could have a little red mojo bag with something, I could do whatever. But as soon as you have this, there's a life force to it. You could look in the funny little eyes. You could speak breath. I'm all about putting breath work into all my work. Breathe into their mouth. Whisper into their ears. Again, the same thing that why haunted dolls and puppets is the same, is because they have this likeness to humans. If you were, let's go back to haunted for a second. If you were a disembodied spirit and you were looking for a vessel to be in, what would you pick? A doll with eyes and a face and a nose, or a toaster? I mean, not that there hasn't been haunted toasters.
Well,
but
yes.
I would go, I know, but I would go for the doll with eyes and face and nose. You can express yourself. Mm. Same thing with my magical spell casting. Why not put the herbs and stones and words and pictures and tag locks into this? If this is representing me, or this is representing someone else, this is so much more fun than this.
Yes.
You know, I put magic into this, but the other's much more psychological in every other way.
Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned there about tag locks, that's obviously usually something connected to the person, or if you're trying to create it. So that, you know, and that could be anything, I would imagine, Patty. In regards to if you're creating one for someone else, I know you mentioned in the book, you've got to have a good knowledge about crystals and herbs and the like in regards to that, because obviously if you're sort of trying to power up your poppet as a gift, perhaps you've got to understand the right connections and the right chemistry in regards to the other items.
Yeah, and a tag lock is to connect it to you or that other person. So that's why you use which again gets the, oh, you don't watch for the bad witch hair, fingernail clippings, you know, bodily fluids, saliva, any kind of bodily fluids are going to connect it to it. Can't always get that if you're making a health one for your grandma on the other side of the country. But that's when you could get into things like photos and writing names and a little piece off their t-shirt or things like that to use as tag locks. But again, it's just that's a form of connecting.
I mean, one of the great things is, as well, is that you kind of lay it all out really simply for people to follow in regards to this, as I said, because it's one of those things where you think, well, if I make this quite nice and I want to pass on my good thoughts, I want to send them good luck, I want them to get well. When I started reading it, it just made perfect sense that you've got to make sure you understand it. And so was that something that you kind of developed yourself throughout your career, Patty, or is this kind of things that you've learned off other people and found how to make the poppet more powerful in regards to the intention you're imbibing in it?
I think both. I think, again, I will study and learn and read and take classes to anybody that knows something that I don't know. I may not agree with everybody, but I want to learn what I can and then figure out my truths from there. But again, in just decades of doing this, you see what works. Again, it's all about that intention. It's all about that energy. It's all about that connection. And if you can get that through this, it's just years of trial and error and seeing what's success. And the more you could get that into it, it just is that much stronger.
Mm. I suppose one of the things people might underestimate or not pay importance to, I would imagine, is the colour of the material you would use as well, Patty. I would imagine different colours will give it more power or can even take away from what you're attempting. And so, once again, this is something that people might just not even consider, but it is a vitally important aspect, isn't it?
It is vastly important. Now, though, I am still a big believer as if all I have is white, use what you have and you can't get the other, don't not make it because you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, like say if you're looking for a money something, just like when candle work, it's the same thing. Ooh, maybe I'm going to use green or gold because that means money to me. What is health? Ooh, well, blue means health to me. Passion. Ooh, let's go with some red. We want some passion. Let's go with love in its purest form. Let's use some pink. Brown, earthing, grounding. You could look at any charts of things, what colors stand for, but I say, look at, but then go what it means to you. If red doesn't mean passion to you, but purple does, make yours purple. Look, it's all about learning to trust your truth, your intuition, what your spirit or your guides are telling you. And to me, that's the start out with the book. Even like if you're reading tarot, start out, the tarot says that's what this means. But once you really get into it, then you start working with spirit on top of what that means. So, but yes, everything can matter or nothing has to matter. Make it matter. So if red's going to invoke passion to me or, you know, green's going to invoke money, use the green.
Do you think that's the problem for people? Because once again, we already put on emotional responses to colours, you know, as you know, the colour black can often create all kinds of negative aspects to some people, whereas lots of us quite like the colour. I mean, I'm a big...
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at my wardrobe, Patty, and I think, I do need a bit more colour in there. And then I pull away so many black and I've got... It's there. But I think sometimes, like you say, people don't want... Or they think that... They kind of try to push down their intuition. But often if it's telling you to go in that direction with a colour or something, then you've got to go for it.
Follow it. Yes. And that's so funny about black, because I wear a lot of black too. We, you know, it's fashionable. It's slimming. What do you
do?
But black is one of the most protective colors. Like people think, ooh, spooky black candles. Quite the opposite. The black is going to cleanse and protect and pull negativity out. You know, because black's got every color.
Yes.
So, but if somebody goes, oh, black means evil to me, well, use a different color then. Your truth is your truth. Doesn't matter what anybody or anything else says.
When you looked at pulling this together, was it surprising how prevalent the history of dolls and haunted dolls are? Because like you say in your introduction, dogs are often put forward as man's best friends, but we find graves going back millennia where dolls have been used. And we often stumble across strange things in certain old European settlement and South America as well, and some of the Native American tribes and First Nations, that show that dolls have had a power and a symbolism. We may not understand it, but they've been with us since people could make anything, really.
Every culture. Truly, that was hard because I wanted to get it right, because I, you know, talking about Chinese dolls versus Japanese dolls, I wanted to give it, I had to do a lot of research and had to be very careful with it, just to give these examples. But again, it's a fact that they do have shape. They are so magical as compared to, because they take on us.
Absolutely. And I suppose it shows, as you referred to earlier, you're always learning, you're always developing. And some people may be surprised that even with your experience, Patty, you're still wanting to make sure that you understand these cultures and you understand the symbolism behind them rather than just sort of pulling it and thinking, well, that's probably right.
Yeah, no, you want to be as right as you can again, and then let people take it from there with what they want to do with something. But I certainly, working with other cultures and other belief systems, I wanted to be very, well, I wanted to be careful with all of it. And again, I give, and I even say it, these are my truths. If you don't want to do it like this, do it like that. Trust yourself. The whole thing really is about empowering yourself and your own magic with any of it.
I mean, as someone that's been as enmeshed in the scene and the practicing for as long as you have, Patty, as many as have been, are you surprised, pleased, shocked even at the success or the growth of paganism in the modern era? It seems to have been one of the benefits of social media, I've always said, is that it's allowed us strange and delightfully quirky people to find our people, no matter which border we find ourselves hemmed in by.
Yeah, no, I am thrilled, shocked, and delighted, all of the above. Yeah, here's my philosophy on that. It's interesting because times are scary right now. We know that. Politics, planet, are the aliens going to come? Are we going to... Times have always been scary, but now their social media is scary, so we're bombarded 24/7 to the negative as much. So people are afraid. Traditionally, when people are afraid, they would go back to their faith, whatever it is, go to church, go to temple, go to mosque. Some of that is not holding up for people in modern times. Maybe somebody's gay, but they said their church says it's evil. So they're discovering more left of center, new age, and of course, paganism and witchcraft. It's like, oh, this is all encompassing. It's positive. And luckily with witchcraft and paganism, it's take your power back, where the world's trying to take away our power. Or now we're like, no, take your power back. So I am thrilled because we don't need to, let's be sheep and follow and you forgive me or do this and we're okay. Let's take responsibility. We're a belief system of taking responsibility and doing, walking your talk. So that's good. But I even think beyond that, why my paranormal world is so also important to me is that there's people out there who are scared and they don't want to go back to traditional religion. They don't even like this woo-woo stuff. I don't witches or crystals or new agers. But they're still scared. And if we get blown up by the aliens tomorrow, they want to know they're going to be okay. They want to go on a ghost hunt. They want to become a paranormal investigator. They don't want this religion, but they want to know. So then so often they go, they go find a public thing. They go on watch ghosty TV and they say, okay, that looks real. I'm going to be okay. It's so often once they do that and then they discover, it is real. Life doesn't end with death. Then they will often backdoor into a belief system that supports it, either back to their traditional, what they grew up, or they discover paganism and witchcraft or anything else along the way, or make up their own. Because to me, your belief system is just to help you navigate. There's truths within all of it. Again, it's almost like a template you put on top. That's why at my school, my teachers have all different belief systems. I won't let them say this is the truth. This is a truth. This is my truth. But who's to say, if you get to my house, to get to your house, Paul, there's one way to do it. You could swim, you could fly, you could take a boat. There's not one way. So your belief system, you find the one that, whether it's a one that's already created or create your own, is to help you navigate to get there. So again, that's to me why the paranormal is not going to get smaller, whether TV keeps going or not, because number one, the veil is thinning and more unexplainable stuff is happening. And on the other hand of that, science is explaining more and more and catching up with us. But again, it's a way to know that we're not going to die if we all get blown up tomorrow.
Well, that's always a good thing, Patty.
That's always a good thing. Yeah.
Well, before I let you leave, as I know you're a very busy lady, your foreword is written by someone whose work I really love, Heather Green, who did that wonderful history of witchcraft in cinema a couple of years ago, which was a brilliant book.
Yes.
Obviously, once again, whilst people may look at paranormal television and the like, Patty, you can see the maturity in regards to how cinema now portrays witchcraft and paganism. Yes. With your elevated status, as it were, as someone who's always put forward as a very positive ambassador for the field, is that something that you've been brought on in regards to as a consultant to make sure it's not the usual burning candles and nonsense that we used to see, and that essentially and witch hunting people?
Right. And going back to the satanic panic days and all that, because Heather is the best. We have, for anybody, on Wednesdays live on YouTube, it's way late on UK, it's 6 o'clock Pacific, but we have the Witches Movie Coven. It's Heather and myself, Jason Mankey, Richard Lael, and we review movies from Wizard of Oz, old ones, new ones, the good, the bad, and the ugly, how witchcraft is portrayed, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's funny, but it's serious and it has things. So Heather is the best. And we look at that and consult. Yes, I have consulted on things. Actually, one is one of my stories. I don't know where I talk, but where somebody actually caught on fire in one of my seances because somebody got disrespectful without giving that whole story. I was at Marilyn Manson's house. But the guy who caught on fire, who's also a filmmaker, was so intrigued, he wrote a script about it, a movie, a horror movie, the kind I like that are funny and scary, about basically about me, a TV medium who does every television show and everything. But then a portal opens and it becomes spooky. But I sat down with him for 5 hours going, Laurent, you can't say that on television. Why? You said that. I go, I know I said that, but that does something. That opens a portal, that opens a gate. You don't want to be one of those cursed horror films, do you? It happens all the time. Look at all the films people fear are cursed. So a spirit, energy, good or bad, doesn't know the difference of an actor reciting lines, doing a ritual to, you know, open a portal to hell, and then somebody really doing it. So we changed all the words. So if they ever do the film, he wrote it with Stephen Norrington, actually, the guy who wrote Extraordinary Gentleman and the Blade series. Yes. I hope somebody fabulous plays me. But again, it won't be one of those. The words will sound as mystical and magical and spooky, but not open a portal to hell. But yes, I love that films really are using consultants now. Yes, you still have to add the Hollywood, we can't really do that, but we're getting close. But they're getting better and better witchcraft and paganism portrayed because they are using consults.
And so they should, I think, because as it grows, its power around the world continues to increase, and therefore at the end of the day, you're talking about a belief system, and we should be past the point where we're focusing on the cliches, like you say, of the satanic panic of the 80s, Paddy, where they just dress everybody up in robes and chant in Latin.
Yep. Yeah. So.
Well, Patty, it's been absolutely fabulous to finally get a chance to speak with you. I hope I get the opportunity to speak with you again.
Anytime, my friend. You're a beautiful host. Thank you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. And you're a wonderful guest. And where can everybody get a copy of Dollcraft, follow you online, join your courses?
Everywhere. Dollcraft, it's available in stores. It's also available on the Llewellyn page, which is my publisher. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, stores everywhere. If you can get it live at your local little shop, I always suggest doing that if you can. We want to keep little brick and mortars going. But if you can't or it's not near, available everywhere. And online can help you find it, even find your store. So thank you. Yes, go to my website. You can get on my website, if not anywhere else. You can even get a signed copy on my website at pattynegri.com. And from there, you can find all my legitimate social medias. You can get to my YouTube page. You can get to my streaming network. You can get to my podcast, The Witching Hour.
Lovely. Well, I'll put links, as always, for everybody in the show notes. And I just want to thank you again for your time. And I wish you all the best with the book. And I look forward to the next time we chat.
Me too. Thank you so much, Paul.